Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Let's talk a little bit about David Bakhtiari, one of the best, if not the best, pass-blocking tackles in all of football.
Now, it's time to go under the helmet with Green Bay left tackle David Bakhtiari.
Tell you what, though, David Bakhtiari had a heck of a first half when Khalil Mack was lined up over him. He got no pressures out of that.
Driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North, stop by their dealership for the best offers on new and used Mercedes-Benz luxury cars and SUVs in Milwaukee. Go to MercedesofMilwaukeeNorth.com.
All right, joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, the aforementioned David Bakhtiari. David, thanks for coming on, man.
Of course.
First things first, I guess, congratulations on that big victory over the Detroit Lions. And I guess my first question is, when you see your running back break a 75-yard run, in your brain are you going, oh, crap, I got to run all the way down there? Or what goes through your brain as an offensive lineman at that point when he takes off running 75 yards?
You know, at my age, right when I saw it, and you can go look at the film, I was the first person to know that he was taking it. It was a house call. I put my finger up, stood there, and watched. and then I lightly trotted off to the sideline. Yeah. It was one of the greatest feelings ever coming out of half. I couldn't have been happier.
And, Dave, I know you've been around for a long time, and you look at some of the offensive line mates that you had. You know, you look at Josh Sitton, T.J. Lang. I mean, you've been there for a minute. But, listen, I think the offensive line that you guys have now, it's only been two games, but it's probably the best in the NFL, only that you've had some injuries, a lot of guys nicked up, and you've had a lot of guys moving around, and it just feels like you have missed a beat. The run game is strong, and Aaron Rodgers, his uniform is relatively staying clean.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of it, you know, we have to give Adam Stenovich, our O-line coach, credit, and Luke Buckus. Those guys do a great job prepping us week in and week out and getting guys ready to play when they need to play and step up for any situation. And we got a lot of solid guys in that room, and we understand, you know, there's a reputation to uphold being part of the Green Bay Packer offensive line. And, you know, ever since I got there was a sense of toughness and a sense of a requirement of a standard that we need to meet. And I'm very happy with the guys that they've brought in. They have kind of risen to that occasion.
Yeah, I was looking at the versatility of the offensive line. I don't think many teams could lose two linemen in the first game. Corey Lindsey went out a little bit in the second game and still put up the numbers you guys have put up. You guys have won six teams in the NFL history. They have 1,000 yards after two games. I don't know if you guys – well, maybe you guys – saw that coming, but I think a lot of Packer fans were caught by surprise how well the offensive line is held together.
I think it's just efficiency. You know, when we have a certain play called, I'd love to say it's the offensive line, but I mean, it takes all 11 of us to execute, and all of us are executing at a high level, and I think that's where you're seeing the yards coming up and the points. Not to mention, you know, the play calls as well. So I think we've been able to hit our stride kind of early and often, which is what you want, especially as an offense, when you start clicking early and you're just excited that you carry this momentum for a lot longer, throughout the entire season and then obviously into the postseason.
Hey, what's the interaction with the officials now that, you know, in a pandemic, and I don't know if they want you guys to say nothing to them, or they've been calling, I've noticed they've been calling it game a little bit different from if it was a normal year. So have coaches told you guys not to interact or say anything to them based on that, or you can just be yourself?
Are you talking about outside the facility?
Well, no, the referees. The referees
on the field.
On the field, yeah, on the field.
No, I mean, yeah, people can use analytics all they want to say, you know, like how they're calling certain games. I know that there was an emphasis on like holding or hitting downfield for the secondary on the wide receivers. I think it's called like ICT or ICT.
Yeah,
the Leo contact. And then the other one was using your head as a lowering the crown of your helmet. They really wanted to emphasize that kind of more in the trenches as well with pulling guards. But, other than that, it's been kind of standard. I think growing pains for everyone in the beginning of the season, you know, refs kind of getting into their groove of what they see. And obviously, you know, us players, you know, getting into our groove.
Yeah, because I thought maybe it was something about they didn't want, because I saw the hit on Lancaster. The guy was coming downfield and he just kind of went for his knees. And I don't get that. But sometimes they tell the offensive linemen when guys are standing around the piles, don't leave your feet and hit them. Have y'all been told that, or that's not really come up?
Oh, I mean, that was – I saw that play.
You saw that play? I was dirty.
It's 100% just a dirty play by a dirty offensive lineman. There's no place for that. Away from the play, cutting him on the behind, you know, on his backside, cutting him at his legs.
Right.
I mean, I'm appalled by it. Like, I don't like that stuff. I figure if you want to be a tough guy, do it within the whistles in where a guy can see you.
You know, from that perspective, talking with David Bakhtiari, Packers All-Pro left tackle here on the Wendy's Big Show like we do each Tuesday at 4:35. From that perspective, obviously because you both play an offense, you really don't get an opportunity to have that conversation. Have you ever in your career taken an opportunity to have a conversation with another offensive lineman after he went after one of your defensive linemen after a game?
No, unless I was really close with a guy, I would definitely have some choice words with someone. But, other than that, you know, the game kind of goes by pretty quick and guys end up, you know, leaving the stadium.
You know, Dave, looking at your offense right now, it's pretty explosive. And not comparing it to Mike McCarthy, but you guys are doing it much different. When you thought of this offense coming into the season, you know, you look at McCarthy's offense, you guys push the ball down the field a lot, threw it a lot, but this is more about the run games, but you guys are still getting huge chunk plays in the run game and in the pass game. And are you surprised at all about how you guys been able to, I guess, adapt in basically 2 short years? Not even that, probably a year and a half.
Am I surprised? No, because my expectation is to go out there and perform at the highest level at all times. So, for us this year, I see it being no different. You know, we have an expectation. We want to go out there. We want to put up points. I think a lot of it also comes off of just all of us being really versed in this offense now and knowing the expectation, and what they want in the run game, exactly in the run game, the aiming points from the offensive line to the running backs to the carry out the fakes from the quarterbacks to where the wide receivers know, you know, when they're blocking man over or as to push crack. So I think when you put all of that together, that's where you're really seeing these big plays from. Because, I mean, these big chunk plays you're seeing are a lot off of just the play action. And the play action and the run look exactly the same because that's the true outside zone philosophy.
Yeah, that's a good point because sometimes we would say if the linemen are downfield as a run, if they pop up as a pass. But my question is, when Aaron Rodgers every now and then runs out of the clock, he has to call a timeout, is it maybe a disagreement on the play? Maybe they wanted the wrong personnel in? Or is it an issue just with managing the clock sometimes in the game?
Are you insinuating a certain time in the game, or are you just saying just in general when we
just in general because sometimes he'll run the clock down to like 5 when he wants to do 2 or 3 hard counts, and sometimes it seems like him and LaFleur not on the same page or something, but then they'll come back and then they'll get back on rhythm. So it just uses a lot of time.
Yeah, no, really, it's a multitude of all that. Like sometimes he wants to manipulate the clock. Sometimes he does end up wanting to call a timeout, so he's going to try and do what he can try to the line of scrimmage. Other times he's just trying to hurry up, see the defense, call the play, wants to call a couple times. It will be, you know, the defense is showing him one thing, and then he wants to almost manipulate them and work, you know, have them do what they're supposed to do, which should defeat the play. But then he's the only one who knows. He doesn't tell any of us, but he will then work, you know, the blitz to his advantage. And like, that's where sometimes the miscommunication can get. Cause I mean, if anyone that has a chance to ever meet Aaron, I mean, he's a very bright mind, and his mind can process a lot of things in a very short amount of time, which is very impressive.
Yeah. If you were starting a team right now, you know, Michael Jordan, shout out to him. He has a NASCAR. So he has an owner of a NASCAR, him and Denny Hamlin. If you were starting your franchise and then you only had, you know, you looked in your piggy bank and you only had a few dollars left, would you sign your left tackle or would you sign your running back if you could only sign one?
Oh, Lord.
Which one would you sign?
If it See, was you think owner? I asked See. The question. See,
that's all See, Leroy right there.
You,
not me.
Why do you do that,
not
Leroy?
Me.
What, come on, Leroy.
What I did, I just try to give him a chance.
Go ahead.
The man wants $25 million. We're trying to get it. Now, y'all need to be quiet. What would you do, Mr. Bakhtiari? You want me to tell you what me and Gary said? Let me tell you what me and Gary said. Wait, I'll do it.
I'll do
no,
you.
No,
Don't
no,
answer it,
no,
David. Don't answer no. it. He's trying to get you in trouble, David. Don't answer it. Don't no, answer it.
That is him.
No, that's Leroy, that right? Yeah. No, yeah.
I do. I wait till he signed that we'll ask the tough question. Me and Gary said this. Not Gary, I don't want to speak for you. We just said when you start a franchise, it's hard to find a left tackle. The Joe Thomases of the world, these great left tackles. You can probably find another running back. That was me and Gary's argument. And then I think Steve was sort of the same. But
no, I wasn't.
You,
I'll tell him what I said.
Yeah, what did you say, Steve? I don't remember.
I'm fine saying what I said. Yeah, I said it all came down for how much money Aaron Jones was going to agree to play for. If Aaron Jones was going to agree to play for like $15 or $16 million a year, then I'm going with the left tackle. It's only a few million dollars difference because, as I said yesterday, you're going to get $22 million or whatever it is over that to be the top left tackle, and you deserve it. But if Aaron Jones signs for, say, $7 or $8 million and there's a huge gap, then I'd probably go with Aaron Jones and try and go get use that additional money to go get a 2-for-1 deal, if at all possible. That was my stance on it. But the other thing that I brought up yesterday was, David, is have the Packers at any point come to either one of you and say, look, this is the number we're kind of thinking for both of you. And this is what kind of where we have to divvy it up to try and keep both of you on the same page. We heard Patrick Mahomes. Oh, shush, zip it. I let you talk earlier.
Don't answer that.
Listen. So earlier we heard Patrick Mahomes sign that huge deal and said, well, I left some money on the table to get my other guy signed.
That was a joke.
Whatever. That's what the man said. So the Packers, you brought it up? I'm assuming the Packers haven't come to either one of you with that proposition of, look, we want to get you both signed, but we can't combine go over a certain number.
Uh-oh.
this is a lot to
unpack. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack.
you know, I'll answer this with a situation. The Kansas City Chiefs had what $100,000 in cap space, and
exactly.
They signed three. Yep. They restructured one, signed three guys to big year deals that are
all over
$15 million, $20 million, $45 million. You know, so. A lot of excuses can be thrown around and misinformation. The point is, at the end of the day, if you want to sign a guy and you want to keep him, you can do it. People just use the cap as an excuse. That's the what they can hide behind, but they can get it done. You can go and restructure with whoever and get money to get pulled from wherever and, you know, push back the potential cap hit to later years. You can get it done if you want to get it done. That's what I know about. The longer I've been around and kind of understanding how, you know, cap situations work. I mean, how healthy is that? I mean, certain teams, you know, have different philosophies on that. But look, that's why for me, at the end of the day, if they want to get it done, they can get it done.
Well, I'm glad you spoke on that. We got that out of the way, and I hope we don't have those questions every week, Leroy and Steve.
Well,
here's a real question
signed,
for you.
I mean,
get that man business. But here's a real question for you, David. How weird was it, or maybe it wasn't, driving to Lambeau Field, no fans, no real tailgating going on? Yep. How was that? How different was that for you?
Definitely interesting, something new. I would definitely say the energy felt a little bit, coach said to us, you know, we got to bring our own energy, to the game, literally. And I mean, other than that, I mean, it's just interesting. Like, that's the best way I can describe it. It's very an interesting vibe, you know, pulling up to the stadium, being in the stadium, in the bowl. Especially when, you know, like, there was an injury that happened in the game, and they cut off the kind of the 70 decibels of like kind of fake crowd noise, and it was very eerie how quiet it was, and I'm actually glad that we have kind of like that fake crowd noise.
So can you explain to the people, because Leroy and I tried to tell them, can you explain to the people, though, although there are no fans in the stands? When do you notice that? Like, when you're playing, not so much. When the play is over, when do you it kind of okay? Yeah, there's nobody here. When does that click in for you?
When does it click in that there's nobody in the stands?
Yeah, because when you're playing, you're playing. I mean, I don't know if you notice it then.
I mean, honestly, I don't notice it at all. I mean, there's so many times in the game, like, hey, did you hear the, you know, the sidelines were saying, like, they could hear the opposing sidelines yelling certain things. I mean, whether there is no fans in the stadium or 80,000 fans, you know, like, at least for me, I feel like I've been doing this long enough where you just kind of, you know, what's important to you, and you block it out. I don't really notice any crowd noise at away games anymore, and I don't notice the lack of noise now in the game. The only thing that's really different is the ability to kind of communicate with the defenders. That's kind of more entertaining, you know, and TV timeouts and just kind of like at the line of scrimmage. I think that's kind of a little more fun.
Talking with David Bakhtiari, Packers All-Pro left tackle here on The Fan. I got one last thing for you here. And this was a caller that called into our Green and Gold post-game show with Bill Michaels Gary Ellerson after the game. I guarantee you he's not alone in his thoughts, but I just want to kind of hear what you think of this call.
My thing is the postseason, man. I don't care if they go 8-8. My thing is the postseason. You can be the best regular team during the season. As we've seen last year where the Packers, we went 13-3. I'm done with the Bucs and the Packers on this. Yeah, the Packers, I'm done with this nonsense. Yeah, okay, looking good. Yeah, they go 5-0, 8-0. Yeah, we get to 13-3, and then we're done. You know what? I'm tired of being teased because I don't care about the regular season anymore. I don't, because I know they'll get there, they'll get to the playoffs, and then we're done.
Thoughts?
Sounds like a fan.
Yes, definitely a fan.
Exactly. Yes.
Definitely a fan.
I mean, that's the best way to put it. I mean, I mean, he definitely doesn't sound like someone who plays the sport. You got to understand, you got to take care of the regular season to get to the postseason, and, you know, winning games at this level. You know, we're talking about the best of the best. It's not easy. So, it's calls like that. You just got to kind of just smile at, and they don't faze me. He could say that all day. Every day and twice on Sunday.
The Leroy pointed out earlier, David, was...
Hold on.
Oh, sorry.
I do want to say that. The one thing is, at the end of the day, he's going to be watching us play, whether it's a regular season or a postseason game.
The one thing that Leroy pointed out earlier, and I think it was true because we talked about this earlier in the show, was, you know, it's at least good from the perspective of you have fans that expect for you to be in the postseason and expect for you to compete championships. There are other cities around the National Football League that don't have that same luxury where these fans are talking about hopefully just making a wild card at this point.
Well, yeah, these fans also haven't had back-to-back back-to-back Hall of Fame
quarterbacks. Yep. And the expectations change.
You know, it's been a long time. So, I mean, when that transition... Whenever that does happen in the Packers' history where they don't have another Hall of Fame quarterback, I mean, you're going to cherish even the fact that you're going to the playoffs.
Right.
You know, now there's just an expectation of, you know, like, we should, you know, you're mad if you get the wild card.
Yep. Yeah, it's absolutely right. That, no quick, question.
Yeah. Real quick, Saints, I don't know if you saw the Saints last night. What do you know about the Saints? Did you see the game last night? The expectations?
I did. They fly around. They're a very athletic, fast defense. That's one thing that, you know, my early prep with them, that's one thing you definitely notice. They got good playmakers, you know, from the defense line all the way back to the secondary. And they play hard. So one thing is just going to be, you know, matching their intensity. And, you know, the nice thing is not having any fans in that stadium on Sunday night. So it's going to be another one, like Matt says, bring your own juice to it. And
yeah, but aren't they allowing? But wait, aren't they allowing fans for that game? For the Saints game? I thought they are allowing fans for that game. I thought that was going to be the first game. Yeah, Dan Plucker, executive producer, shaking and said yes. Yeah, there will be fans in the stands for that game in New Orleans, I believe. Yeah,
that's a big stadium, though.
Yeah, there will be fans there.
Yeah, I mean, even if there is, I mean, from what I've heard, it is that when there is fans, however many they allow in there, it's actually quieter than the 70 decimals of fake crowd noise.
Really? Wow.
That's exactly right.
So you're better off not having fans.
And let me tell you, 70, the whatever the decibels of the crowd noise that they pump in there, it's not very loud to begin with.
Wow. Good stuff. David Bakhtiari, as always, thanks so much for coming on. Look forward to talking again next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
Take care. There he is, David Bakhtiari, Packers All-Pro left tackle in the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. It's your passion, outgrowing your home. A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since
headlines in there.
1935. Up next, Great Lakes Dragaway. Pick a lane in. We'll discuss some of what David Bakhtiari had to say. All straight ahead. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh. Live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.